morning and welcome to the service of morning prayer. It's Sunday, the 22nd of August, and my name is Reverend Natasha Brady, and I'll be leading you through this service today. Hopefully you've opened your service sheet, and I'd love for you to join in with the words in bold. Notices can be found on your Friday email, on our website, Facebook and Instagram. And hopefully you'll scroll all the way to the end of this service sheet and take away with you the Roots at Home sheet. Let's begin with our opening hymn, Blessed Be Your Name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be his glorious name. Let us pray. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you and also with you. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We have come together in the name of Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive God's holy word, to pray for the needs of the world, and to seek the forgiveness of our sins, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we may give ourselves to the service of God. So I ask now that you take a moment of quiet and reflect on the week that you've had. And when you're ready, come back to the prayers of penitence. Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand. So let us turn away from our sin and turn to Christ, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have wandered and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone those things that we ought to have done, and we have done those things that we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But you, O Lord, have mercy upon us sinners. Spare those who confess their faults. Restore those who are penitent, according to your promises declared to mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may live a disciplined, righteous and godly life to the glory of your holy name. Amen. May the Father of all mercies cleanse you from your sins and restore you in his image to the praise and glory of his name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And as we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen. And so we join together in song once again. And we're going to join Graham Kendrick now as we sing All I Once Held Dear and Built My Life Upon.
To live and never die. Knowing you, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord.
Our psalm this week is Psalm 84. Would you like to join in with me as we say this together? How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength, till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favour on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favour and honour. No good thing does he withhold from those whose way of life is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Over to Richard now for the Gospel reading.
The reading today is taken from the Gospel of John, Chapter 6, starting at verse 56. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died. But whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in a synagogue in Capernaum. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them." From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Benedictus. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Saviour, born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets, God promised of old to save us from our enemies, from the hands of all that hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors, and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath God swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of all their sins, in the tender compassion of our God. The dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Nigel will be opening God's word now. So over to you, Nigel.
Well, hello. And will you join me in a prayer, please? Heavenly Father, please guide my words that I might speak your truth, and guide and direct all our hearts that we might hear and understand your truth. And we ask this for your glory, and in Jesus' name. Amen. A New Zealand architect I worked with would quite often quote that well-known saying, "When the going gets tough, the tough get going." And you know, I think that could well be used as a heading for today's reading, because Jesus' message was and is a tough challenge. Not that anyone is in any physical danger, but clearly a number of Jesus' followers, then and now, have been seriously challenged spiritually, intellectually, and emotionally. Which, bearing in mind the very strict rules that apply to what Jewish people can eat, is hardly surprising. When the first words we heard read were, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me." Now, from everything we know about our loving Lord and Saviour, it must be obvious that Jesus wasn't advocating some form of cannibalism. Of course not. Rather, what Jesus was saying to those first disciples and to all succeeding generations is that the most important thing anyone can do is to allow all that he taught and all that he represents to permeate our very being, so that his spirit becomes part of us, of what we are, describing this as the ultimate spiritual food, as the bread that came down from heaven, which he then contrasts with the manna, or bread, which sustained the Jewish nation as they wandered in the desert for 40 odd years. But eventually, as Jesus pointed out, every single one who ate that manna, that bread, well, they kicked the bucket. By the way, kick the bucket isn't a biblical expression, to be pleased to know. And not surprisingly, Jesus, who was and is much more polite, simply said, "Everyone who ate that bread died." When we also take into consideration that earlier in verse 35, Jesus had already referred to himself as the bread of life. And now, in verse 57, Jesus boldly declares, "So he who eats me will live because of me." These words of Jesus troubled his followers, and they asked each other questions like, "How are we supposed to understand all of this? It's hard teaching." Probably hard in the sense of hard to accept rather than hard to understand. Of course, Jesus was fully aware of their dislike of his challenging message. And so he asked them quite bluntly, "Do you take offence at this? Then what if we were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before?" I think that Jesus is speaking of his glorious ascension when he returned to heaven after his crucifixion, death and resurrection. In verse 63, he returns to emphasise again that it is the spirit that gives life. The flesh offers nothing. And he says, "These words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life." Continuing, "But there are some of you that do not believe." Of course, Jesus is God's son, so as it says, he knew from the day one exactly who was truly for him and those who were just paying lip service. And for those not truly committed to Jesus, this teaching proved to be the final straw. For them, Jesus was asking for more than they were willing to give. The going was getting tough, but sadly they weren't getting going. Instead, they just threw in the towel and walked away. After they left, Jesus turns to the 12 disciples and offers them a choice when he asks, "Do you also wish to go away?" And you know, that's the amazing thing about being a Christian. Everyone who is a Christian is an individual volunteer. There's no party booking to go to heaven. It's each individual that counts on their own. No one is forced to join or stay, we're free to decide for ourselves. Simon Peter, bless him, seems to have answered for all of them when he first asks a simple but telling question and says, Lord, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? He doesn't know anybody else, which he then answers by giving their reason for staying. You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. We have come to know and believe that you are the Holy One of God. What a beautiful answer, which I'm sure would have been a great comfort and encouragement to Jesus, the man. Sadly, those followers who gave up on Jesus just didn't get it. They just failed to fully realise the enormity of what Jesus was offering and the dreadful consequences of turning their backs on him, on the Holy One of God. But let's not forget that, unlike us, they didn't have the benefit of hindsight. For we know the full story of Jesus' time on earth, including the amazing events on that first Easter and his glorious ascension into heaven just over a month later. So we can be pretty sure that even those who stayed were not finding Jesus' teaching a doddle either. Anything but. Yes, the going was getting tough, but they were getting going. Because deep down, they realised, as Simon Peter said, that Jesus really did have the words of eternal life. Now, those early deserters might have had the excuse of not knowing the full story. Well, what of us, of you and me? After all, we do have the benefit of hindsight. We can see the whole picture. The burning question is, what are we doing with that knowledge? Are we playing our part? Are we living as Jesus wants us to? Is our faith a shining light? Or are we too embarrassed or ashamed and therefore simply keeping it hidden? A sort of private thing that's not spoken about in polite society. Now, Jesus has something to say about that sort of attitude in Luke chapter 9, verse 26, when he said, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory. Clearly, Jesus isn't mincing his words, but then he never did. He's just giving everyone fair warning. There will be a day of reckoning. And does it again in Luke, this time in chapter 11, verse 23. When he explodes the myth, we can adopt some sort of neutral position. When he states, anyone who isn't with me opposes me, and anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me. No sitting on the fence then. And just as Natasha told us last week, even in the early church, a tendency to hold back, to not confidently affirm our faith, was beginning to creep in. Keeping quiet was for some becoming the preferred option. But Luke 11:23 totally removes that choice. For followers of Jesus, then and now, neutrality is a big no-no. It's just not on the cards. So where does that leave all of us? Where do we go from here as members of the church family? Well, I would suggest that as important as church is for helping and supporting one another, as we come together to thank and praise God for sending Jesus to save us and to show us how we should live our lives, that is not its only purpose. To quote another one of Archbishop William Temple's sayings, the church is the only society that exists for those who are not its members. The church is the only society that exists for those who are not its members. And any of us who are members would do well to never forget that. Especially when we are tempted to get wrapped up in our own cosy little bubble. And heaven forbid that we should ever give the impression that somehow we think we're better than the non-members. Sadly, I think that the Holier Than Thou Brigade could be in for a bit of a shock on Judgment Day, because they seem to have overlooked Romans 3:23, when Paul wrote, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Or as William Temple put it, the only thing of our very own which we contribute to our salvation is the sin which makes it necessary. I repeat that. The The only thing of our very own which we contribute to our salvation is the sin which makes it necessary. So the really good news for all of us to take away is that Jesus came to wash away everyone's sins. All he wants from us is our acknowledgement that we do need saving. Amen.
Thank you, Nigel, for opening God's word this morning for us. Let us now say together the words of the Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Will you join with me now in our intercessions? And when I say, Lord, hear us, please respond, Lord, graciously hear us. Heavenly Father, Lord of all life, we share with you our love and concern for the world. We long for peace in Afghanistan. We ache for those people. We share the pain of many facing COVID still, and the tragedy that surrounds this world through this pandemic. What the television news doesn't tell us is that you are already working at full stretch in each of these places, and that your people are in the thick of these difficulties with acts of mercy and compassion. Help us to remember that where your people are hurting, you too are wounded, and where your people are responding in love, you too are in the midst of them. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We share with you our love and concern for the Church. We delight in the richness of the Church's spiritual heritage. We celebrate the stories of faith and the miracles of love among your people. We proclaim with serious joy a child's birth, a Saviour's death, and a victor's resurrection. And yet we repent of so much in the Church that dishonours the gospel. Our fears, our arguments, our negativity. Show us, Lord, at every level of Church life, how to be a community of the friends of Jesus, blessed by that friendship and seeking to be a blessing to others. So may your kingdom come afresh in this land. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We share with you our love and concern for our community and culture. Thank you for the range of fascinating skills and enthusiasms in each community. Especially at this time, we lift our Eco Garden, a wonderful project between our community and the Church. We lift our History Society, reaching out and finding wonderful ways of drawing community together. We thank you for our Good Neighbour scheme, offering a space of tea and coffee each week at the moment for our local, isolated and elderly people. Thank you for the huge hope we have in our children and the efforts we all make to support and encourage them. We lift in particular our school, Stoke Poges School, to you. We also lift the Khalsa Academy to you. And we lift our childminders and our carers to you, Lord. Thank you for all they do in and amongst our families and children. Thank you for those unsung heroes who sustain the fabric of local life and the voluntary organisations that care for every imaginable need. We lift this week our parish council to you, the people that are working still on the front line in our local shops, the post office, the local hospital at Wexham. And with our thanks come our prayers. that you will harness all this goodwill and use it as the raw material for your kingdom. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We share with you our love and concern for people in a bad place today. We have on our hearts those people who are ill. We lift all of those known to us and ask, Lord, for your healing touch. So in a moment of quiet, can you lift those known to you? We have on our hearts people who are in a tight spot trying to make ends meet. We think of those particularly that have been struggling to find new jobs at this time. Those who have work but still struggle to make ends meet. Lord, be with them. We have on our hearts people whose relationships have fallen apart. And we ask, Lord, for your healing touch there, for a quietness of mind. We have on our hearts people who have been forgotten in prison, on the streets, or in long-term psychiatric care. Remind us, Father, that every person is as unique and valuable to you as the disciples were to Jesus. Each person is irreplaceable and each your beloved child. Help us to treat each other with the respect and honour we would reserve for you. Please heal the sick, give dignity to the fallen, and draw us all into the fellowship of the redeemed. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. Finally, we share with you our love and concern for ourselves, for you commanded us to love our neighbour and ourselves equally. We offer to you our gratitude for so much and our need for so much. In silence now, we thank you for particular things. And we ask you for particular things we truly need. Gracious God, please take and use the tentative longings of our hearts. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We offer these our prayers in hope, in high hope, and in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. And trusting in our Lord, we say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. This week is the 12th Sunday after Trinity, and so our prayer for this week. God of constant mercy, who sent your Son to save us, remind us of your goodness, increase your grace within us, that our thankfulness may grow through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And so, as this morning prayer draws to a close, we have our final hymn. Christ is made the sure foundation. The St. Martin Voices will be leading us through this hymn. Thank you, St. Martins in the Field, for sharing this worship with us. blessing as we depart. Grant, we beseech you, merciful Lord, to your faithful people pardon and peace, that they may be cleansed from all their sins and serve you with a quiet mind, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today. We look forward to seeing you in person soon. And in the meantime, have a wonderful week and stay safe.